Good morning. When I was in high school, one of the books that I was required to read was Henry V. We were preparing for the GCE, and we all had to read that book. And foolish me, I tried to memorize the entire book because back then, you didn't want to fail, and your name was published in the paper if you passed the exams. But I loved Henry V so much that most of it I have in my computer. But there is a section that I'd like to open with this morning, and hopefully you can identify with this. Once more to the breach, dear friends, once more. I'll close up these walls with our English dead. In peace, there is nothing so becomes a man as modest stillness and humility. But when the blast of war blows in our ear, imitate the action of a tiger, conjure up the blood. Disguise fair nature in hard favored rage. Like the brass cannon, let the blow overwhelm it. Well, Shakespeare was talking about war. And I believe that we are at war in our world today. We are fighting some cultural battles, and we're not doing a good job as Christians. We're losing in many cases. But I believe that at strategic points in history, God always raises up His people, individuals that stand up and out for Him. And we are talking this morning, reflecting on the life of one of the greatest men, greatest prophets that ever lived, Nehemiah. Nehemiah was called by God to do a job. It was not an easy job. It was a difficult job. The people of God had been taken into captivity, their city ruined. The walls surrounding the city had been destroyed. The gates were obliterated. And the Bible tells us that when God called Nehemiah, he went out and he looked at the damage that had been done by the enemy. And our Bible tells us that when Nehemiah looked at the destruction that had been wrought against the city, the people that had been called by God to represent him in the world, the Bible has said that these people were a light to the nations. That's why God called the nation Israel, to light up the world for him. And as long as they were faithful, as long as they held to the word of God, they were fine. But like that great passage in Deuteronomy chapter 28, I'd like for you to sometime today just take a moment to look at it. Deuteronomy chapter 28. This is what it says. If you are faithful to adhere to my statutes, my rules, my commandments, blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall you be when you go out and when you come in. In other words, God is saying, if you adhere to my principles, you're going to have my blessing. But the latter part of Deuteronomy 28 says this: if you refuse to adhere to my principles, if you do not follow my commandments, cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the fields. Cursed shall you be when you go out and when you come in. So the Bible clearly states that in order to experience the blessings of God under the old covenant, you have to adhere to his statutes, his principles. Well, the nation of Israel failed to do that. And as a result, the enemy came in, tore down the walls, and brought destruction to the temple and the city. And when Nehemiah looked at it, this is what it says. he sat down. Sometimes, you know, we just have to sit down because we stand a lot. But we have to sit down and reflect on who God is, where he's brought us from, and where he would like to take us. So the Bible says, Nehemiah sat down as he looked at the destruction. And then it says, he wept. I wonder today, you're sitting here, when you think about what is going on in our world, when you think about lives just being obliterated, people going out into eternity without knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, does that not make you weep? In some of our families, we have persons who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That should make us weep. Because the Bible also says in the book of Ezekiel that if we fail to warn persons of the impending danger they face, their blood will be required at our hands. That makes us responsible. So as Nehemiah looked at the destruction, the Bible says he sat down, he wept, he mourned. But it's not enough to weep. It's not enough to mourn. The Bible goes on to say, he fasted and he prayed. Listen, some of you may be saying, well, I have lived my life. I'm retired. There's nothing that I can do. And I want to tell you this morning, there are things that you can do. Reflect on the revival in the Hebrides in Scotland. Two elderly women, handicapped women, prayed to God for a revival. And God raised up Duncan Campbell. That's part of your history. So don't tell me there's nothing you can do. You can pray. Nehemiah sat down. He wept, he mourned, he prayed. He fasted. When was the last time you went on a fast? Saying, God, listen, I want to be drawn closer to you. I want to have a close relationship with you. I want to deepen my relationship with you. That's what fasting is about. So he fasted, he prayed. But that was not all that he did. Some of us, when we pray, we stop. Nehemiah resolved in his heart that he was going to do something to correct the situation. When you look at things in the world, when you look at your church, you may see things that God has given you a vision for. Don't just sit back. Don't sit on your hands. Do something about it. Pray about it. Fast about it. But resolve in your heart that you are going to let God use you as an instrument to bring about the change that he has called on you to bring about. So I want to share this with you. Nehemiah had a vision. He looked at the destruction. He saw the problem. But he also, in his mind, saw the wall being built. When I was in seminary, I came across a book by Dr. Teed, T-E-A-D, on leadership. And he said something that really has stayed with me. Anything worth doing is worth planning. So Nehemiah got busy. He says, now, I have to plan to bring about this change. I want this wall to be rebuilt. I want God to be glorified. I want the people of God to have joy again in their hearts. And so, guess what he did? If you read this book, you'll see that he went to the emperor of Persia. It's now Iran. He was the cupbearer. Not just a domestic, but he had a lot of influence. He was a great man in the service of this heathen king, the king of Persia. And the king noticed something about Nehemiah on this day. He noticed that his countenance had changed. He was downcast. This was not normal for him. But you see, he was burdened by what he had observed. And so the king said to him, "Listen, what's wrong?" He said, "O king," and he was afraid. "O king, my people have been devastated. The walls of Jerusalem have been broken down. The temple has been destroyed. And I want to be a part of rebuilding that." But notice what he does. He says, "I would like for you to write a letter of recommendation." See, he wanted permission, but he wanted it in writing. Because he wanted to do things correctly. And he knew that he would encounter adversity. So the king wrote him some nice letters to take with him on his journey. But as he's going to do his job, guess what? People like Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, they come along. And I want to tell you this. Anytime you set out to do something great for God, you're going to have opposition. Anytime. That's just the way things are. We live in a fallen world. That's part of our Reformed heritage. We acknowledge that we live in a fallen world. And so anytime you stand for truth, anytime you start for spirituality and righteousness, you're going to encounter adversity. Nehemiah was no exception. Tobias said, "Listen here. I understand that you are going to attempt to build or rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. What are you going to use for materials? And if you build it, if a fox were to walk on it, it would be destroyed." In other words, he said, "You can't do it." But keep in mind that Nehemiah had resolved in his heart that he was going to do it for the glory of God. Nehemiah had a vision. And let me tell you this. If God has given you a vision, because that's how he works with his people. For example, in Isaiah chapter 6, we have a glorious example of a man with a vision. The Bible said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord." That's a vision. Some people go to church and they never see God for who he is. Some people view God as a little puppet that they can manipulate to get good things from when they want them. But we believe in a sovereign God, one that is transcendent, one that is almighty. So Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple and the place was filled with smoke." That was his way of expressing that God was transcendent. And listen, anytime you see God as he truly is, you'll see yourself as you truly are. He said, "I looked and I saw myself as being undone, inadequate. I had no standing in the presence of this transcendent God." Anytime you see God as he truly is, you see yourself as nothing, a mere speck. It produces humility, not arrogance. But the third thing that I observe in Isaiah chapter 6 is not only did he see God as he truly was and himself as he was, but he saw the people as they were. And one of the things that we need from God today is to have a clear vision of the situation that we're in. We live in a world that is fallen. People are lost. They're dying each day, going out into eternity, some without knowing God as Savior. And we need to be his lights. Like Nehemiah, we need to stand up and we need to say, "This is for the glory of God." And to shine as beacon lights for him. Nehemiah not only had a vision, but he helped the people to buy into that vision. The people had some ownership for it. And my Bible tells me that the walls of Jerusalem were built because the people had a mind to work, and it was because of one man standing up for right. So don't think that you're insignificant. Don't think that you're alone. If God has called you to do something, you do it, and do it with all your might for His glory, and He will magnify it. You'll be blessed. The wall was built because the people had a mind to work. That is my prayer for St. Andrews. That the people of St. Andrews, in the strategic position that you're in, downtown, you will stand out as a beacon light for God. Not just a building, because the building is not the church. It's the people. You are the church. When Christ comes back during the rapture to receive His church, it's not going to be the concrete, the mortar, the steel, the organ, the stained glass windows. It's going to be the people. The people. And that is what is important. But there are some people in churches today that worth no more to the kingdom, they're worth no more to the kingdom of God than a smoky lantern on a stormy sea. They give off no light at all. My good friend R.G. Lee used to say, they're like a punctured Japanese nickel in a Chinese bazaar. They have no use, no value. Be like Nehemiah. Stand up. There are breaches. There are cracks in the wall. But you can make a difference. Yes, you will have opposition. Yes, you will experience adversity. But with God, you can overcome them. And you can shine as a beacon light for God. That is my prayer for you. The last time I was here, I shared with you a poem that I'm going to give you again, because I'm sure a lot of you forgot, have forgotten it. But one of my favorite poets is Paul Donbar. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he's written some really good stuff. But one day, he was visiting a prison where there was a man who had been charged with a capital crime, and he was awaiting death. And he got to talk with him. After talking with him, he wrote this poem, which I'd like to close with today. This is the price I pay, just for one riotous day. Years of regret and grief and sorrow without relief. Small was the thing I sought. Small was the thing at best. Small was the deed I thought, but oh God, the interest. This is the price I pay just for one riotous day. Years of regret and grief and sorrow without relief. Do not live your life that way, seeking small things. But live your life in such a way that each day you will give glory and honor to God. And then there will be no regrets. May God bless you as you continue to meditate on these words. Amen.